Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Peabody Award-winning international film and television star Nick Searcy, and you're listening to Audrey Russo on Real Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. We're now in the fight for the life of our republic. And as the founders were deliberate in their decision to separate from the crown, so must we be in this moment. We will win this ultimately because of the people and their determination for self-rule. But because we have failed to keep those in power accountable, that journey to victory may again be a bloody one. And we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest for my new listeners. Diana West is the author of several best-selling books, including The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. And she's also the author of the new bestseller, The Red Thread, A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. Diana has contributed essays and features to numerous periodicals, including The Wall Street Journal, The Weekly Standard, and The Washington Post. She's also been a columnist for The Washington Times, Scripps Howard News Service, and United Media. And she can be read at The Daily Caller. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Diana West.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. It just
too
keeps getting...
Too bad there's nothing to talk about
I wish you could think of something. It just keeps getting better and better. It's just...
Yeah.
Well, you know, really, Diana, what you've been saying over the years about what's going on, now we're seeing it come to the surface, but it's kind of blatant. The truth, they're bold now. They're bold. My good friend General Tom McInerney calls this the largest cyber warfare operation in history. That's heavy. And and as so far in Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, witnesses including voters, poll workers, computer security, the voter data experts and all that have given massive amounts of evidence on ballot fraud and electronic election fraud. In, literally hours of testimony before state legislatures. Now, the majority of these witnesses have filed sworn affidavits. That's under penalty of law. The communist left tried and failed because they got caught. Now, they didn't get caught just simply trying to steal an election. They were trying to steal a republic. Now, that might sound extreme, but that's reality. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, this is... I think one thing's really important to... keep in mind is that even though we can say we should, in a sense, we told you so, in a sense, this is where all of these warnings we've been making head. This is the weaponization of all these threats over these, generations. I think it's really important that we never lose our sharp capacity to be shocked and outraged and angry. You know, it's not like we should get to a point where we are cynical or accept this, because that is really something that I think the left and the right, the lefty right or the co-opted right, are banking on, that we actually accept this outrage against our country, against our president, against our vote, against our constitution, against everything. And we have to remain keenly and just painfully upset and shocked. That's kind of my overview of where we need to stay, which is not exactly soothing as we turn into the holiday season. But that is our lot. This is our time. This is our call to the battlements, really. And it's a really difficult time, because these forces against liberty and our liberty have become so deeply entrenched that they're very difficult to pry out and actually seize on. But thanks to this testimony that you allude to, much of it, if not most of it, sworn affidavits, right, we are finding boatloads of evidence, smoking guns galore, and we can do this. But it does remain really incumbent on us, the American people, the 74 million of us who voted for Donald Trump, and anyone else who wants to see law and order rule in our land and our constitution rule on our land, staying focused and following this through and not letting them take our election and our vote away from us.
Yeah, I am glad you brought up the co-opted right, because they have been trying to sell this to Republican voters,
right,
that, well, he can always run in 2024. Unbelievable.
Absurd.
Yeah.
There's no election coming in 2024 if this is allowed to stand.
Well, see, that's it. This is, as I said, this is not just they stole an election. They're trying to steal the Republic, because they're not going to give it back, are they? If they were able to get away with this massive, and it's massive fraud on so many levels, what would make anyone think it wouldn't happen again?
Exactly. Well, it would just prove that politics is just pretend, and that, you know, our vote means nothing, and that we are essentially serfs or slaves or just submissive people ruled by this weird big tech, big media, big politics oligarchy. And you know, I don't know anyone who wants to give in to that. But that is exactly what it would mean if this is allowed to stand. We have a pretender elect assembling a pretend cabinet. I mean, when you actually sit back and think about it, there is a lot of criminality rampant in the land in this post-election process by everyone who is participating in the fraud and perpetuating it. And I don't know the legal statutes that are being violated here, but under the rubric of fraud, we are seeing tons of it. People who are knowingly subverting the electoral process for their own gain and pretending that the media have made them, you know, the next administration. And it's a frightening thing to behold, because so much of it depends on a war for our mind. This is really a psychological battle, as much as it is a spiritual battle going on right now, than any sort of just normal politics. I mean, this is really about changing our mind, changing how we look at the world, how we look at facts, how we view the Constitution, being governed by it, etc. This is really about a psychological operation against the American people to accept this kind of fraud. And that's as scary as anything else.
It really is. You know, what we've seen also, I mean, there's so many things going on here, but of course, to the same end. It scares me that we ever got this close to communism, because we have. But you have now, well, I'd love to know who told Biden that it would take 6 weeks to crush the middle class, because that whole 6 week to jumpstart, this doesn't even make sense, to jumpstart the economy, he would want to shut the entire country down for 6 weeks. To me, that would finish off the middle class. Isn't this their target? I mean, because how do you have big box stores are okay to stay open, but people that have smaller, you know, middle, the middle class, the working class, the small business, they have the same products, maybe on a smaller scale. They can't be open, but the big box stores can. That's clear that they're trying to destroy small business.
Well, yes, and I think even to a larger point, destroy Americans as self-sufficient individuals, take away the self-sufficiency of the small business owners and their families and the people they employ and the communities they enrich, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and make us all dependent on these great reset notions, these restylings of our whole system, ideas that will make us wholly dependent on the state for handouts, for all kinds of whatever advantages or disadvantages, everything will come from the state. I mean, this is really serious stuff, which is why it is so important to stay focused on this election. And I would say that the best news I saw in this past week came out of some a Rasmussen poll, mm-hmm. which, despite the news blackout, which is pervasive across the political spectrum, the right-wing sites, the left-wing sites, everything in between. Despite that blackout, Rasmussen is finding that almost half of U.S. likely voters now believe there was enough fraud to ensure Biden would win. Wow. That's huge. That's almost half the American people who are not being informed by the press have still found this information, understood enough about the absolutely blatant cheating and fraud that, you know, you cannot screen out to understand that. And when you even get down into the different groups, of course, you know, the numbers are high for Republicans, 75% of Republicans, but 30% of Democrats.
Wow. Wow.
Have this, and almost 40%, 39% of unaffiliated. So you're looking at giant chunks of the population,
right.
who have not been educated by the press, who have not been granted their right to know. They've had their right to know taken away from them by the media. And I'm talking from Breitbart and the Washington Times and the Daily Caller on the right, all the way across to, you know, obviously the New York Times and you know, the Politico, et cetera, on the left. I'm talking about the whole gamut of media has denied the public the right to know, and yet somehow it's getting through to the public. That's significant. And that is where we need to stay alive and shocked and angry and outraged and follow this on our own to the end. We've got to all inform each other. Thank you, Audrey, again, for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. I hope they share these things. I mean, this is, it really has to be grassroots. But, you know, that's where Donald Trump's power comes from. It's Trump and MAGA and MAGA and Trump. There's nothing else. Trump has no one else but MAGA. We have no one else but Trump.
Yeah.
That's why this is so important. It's not about Trump. It's alone. It's about the American people executing their right for self-determination. I mean, all of these things fit in together. You asked me about Biden's assault, proposed assault, if he is allowed to perpetuate this fraud on the middle class. Well, it's all about taking away our self-sufficiency, our self-determination, our self-governance. I mean, this is the ball game, as Richard Viguerie called it before the election. This is the ball game.
Yeah. You know, in your exhaustive studies on communism, what have you observed about this really egregious behavior we're observing now that you have seen perpetuated before in other communist countries, or at least now they're communist countries?
Sure. Well, there are different kinds of communist takeovers. There are takeovers in really poor places. There are takeovers, like, for example, we go back to 1948 in Czechoslovakia, a stable democracy that gets taken over. So there's a range of behaviors. But one thing you always will see are the subversion, the boring from within of the institutions. And you and I have been talking about that for years now, really, mm-hmm. About how institutions are stealthily subverted. And I would look to those media organizations on the right, because they are really failing in every way. Their putative beliefs and their readership or viewership, Fox, of course. It's this boring from within and co-opting of opposition, and they talk about controlled opposition. I mean, these are, again, kind of information psychological operations that have to soften up a population. And if we go back, of course, to our education system, which we, you know, have been talking about for really decades, about how this education system has been co-opted to soft sell communist ideas and socialism and all the rest of it. So it's basically this, these tentacles go into a society that may feel very confident and successful and prosperous, and yet from the inside out, these things, these institutions are subverted. And then we find ourselves today looking at a process whereby we are dependent on the institution, for example, the judiciary, to make these rulings. Well, we're dependent on very subverted institutions. And so we have to hope that there are appointed officials or elected officials who still have the moral fiber to live up to their oath to the Constitution and carry out their duty. We're hoping, it's like hanging on by a thread, and it's not supposed to be that way, but this speaks to this institutional attrition that is, you know, erased checks and balances, eroded the powers of the states. We're looking at state legislatures now kind of being educated as they go on their own legislative powers to regulate really the selection of electors going to the Electoral College. I mean, this is sort of a new concept, and it's sort of happening in real time, and it is the constitutional remedy, and yet we're waiting for this to happen in one of these states where the elections were so afoul of state election law that the state legislature that sets that law needs to reclaim their power and do the right thing and either throw out these bad votes or select their own electors. And so this is why we're focused on Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and the rest, because the law was violated so rampantly that it goes back to the legislature to rectify it.
Yeah. You mentioned, well, in particular, Arizona with Governor Ducey, who, he ignored the hearing that was taking place.
Right.
And he certified a fraudulent vote. I love what Giuliani said when he was addressing the Arizona legislators. He said, it's your power, it's not theirs. Whatever power the governor or secretary of state thinks they're exercising, it isn't theirs. It's the legislature's. You can take it back. Have the courage to do that. In history, I swear to God, he said, you will be heroes. So far we saw State Senator Doug Mastriano. He's, of course, a colonel, U.S. Army, retired, and he received death threats for taking his stand. But did you see any other courage there besides this man? Any other, do you see any moral fiber, or is it gone?
Well, I'm waiting to, these are processes. They are having these hearings. You know, we'll have to wait and see. I saw the Pennsylvania State Senate went out of session. I'm not happy about that either. You know, it's kind of like, I think a lot of these things are in flux. And so we're waiting to see the Mastrianos really take the lead here. It's interesting. You mentioned Ducey, the governor of Arizona, certifying the results in the midst of these incredible fraud hearings by the legislature on the very day before they had finished. I mean, you have to emphasize this. It's so crazy. That to me is very similar to what William Barr, the attorney general, did when he, in the midst of these national events, these national processes, these court challenges in multiple states, these investigations by all kinds of data experts and so on, they're just mounting up in the midst of all this turmoil and process, which needs to go forward. He makes an announcement to the AP that he has to date seen no election fraud that would have overturned the results. Well, that's very similar to Ducey certifying a fraudulent election in the midst of a hearing. Mm-hmm. He is putting his hand on the scale, and he is, I believe, speaking directly to that informed population that Rasmussen is finding, these people who understand there is something deeply unlawful about this election. Yeah. And Barr is using his authority to influence them and undermine their hunches, their gut hunches at this point, which, again, are not being informed by the media. So everyone has to do their own due diligence here. But isn't that an interesting parallel to see these people interjecting themselves in this psychological warfare against the American people?
To me, it was a disgrace what he did. Of course, he's trying to backpedal now. But he did that, and the response by Trump's legal team was, Well, sir, you haven't, you know, with all due respect, you haven't looked at anything that we have.
Right.
There has been no these people have not been interviewed. So, you know, where are you making, what's your evidence for that?
Right. You have not subpoenaed anyone. You have not examined, audited any voting machines. No, it was absolutely a reckless statement. And as far as him walking it back, I mean, that was a bit of an asterisk to the whole thing. A spokesperson came out and said that the AP was incorrect. It said the spokesperson said that the Department of Justice has not concluded its investigation. Well, Barr said to date we have not seen fraud that justifies the idea that's
a conclusion.
Yes. So I think it was one of those Washington classic moments of trying to have it both ways or speaking with a forked tongue. And you know, you do still see Barr apologists or people who just can't believe the betrayal by Barr to this day, even having lived through a couple of years of it. They cling to that little walk back, which was no walk back at all. It was just kind of one of these, let's roil the waters. He knows what he's doing. He knows when he makes a statement to the AP, the impact. And sure enough, today, what did we see? We saw a spate of stories saying Barr sees no fraud. And then you start seeing the Never Trump editorials and columns like the Wall Street Journal or at the Washington Examiner calling on the president to concede. This is just, again, a psychological operation.
Yeah.
We have to go through this process. Remember, Bush v. Gore, 38 days of it.
Yeah.
And that was a much more simple situation. That was just a couple of counties and a question over who had the most votes in a couple of counties. That it could have gone for Gore, but it went for Bush, very few votes. It was so simple. It was so limited. It was such a small geographic location. We're looking at 50 states here with a serious concentration on at least 6 swing states, but we're looking at fraud across the board. And the idea that people want to stop the process and prevent transparency, prevent it from going forward, not give it a fair hearing, is extremely disturbing and highly suspicious. And I think anyone who calls for a stop to the process at this point is a suspect in my book.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned that the what we have going on here is psyops, and just similar to the medical psyops that was going on.
Yes.
That they were using, exactly, they were putting out, respected journals putting out fraudulent studies that when, thank God for America's frontline doctors, they started to ask for the data, and they'd say, wait a minute, this is wrong, and then they'd pull it, but it was already out there for people to see, and it was used by governors and mayors to then, of course, we have these massive, and in the case of Michigan, psychotic the woman putting out massive mandates based on this. And then they would trickle out the truth a little bit. After all this, they say, they start, of course, in the CDC with the death rate that the targeted group was, their survival rate was almost 95%. That's the target group. Everybody else is better, 99.998. So, I mean, who wouldn't want something with that survival rate? But it's all psyops because they're still using what was the fraud that was put out and then, of course, walked back. But it was walked back in secret. So there it is.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, there really is, it's really important to understand when you're looking at this kind of manipulation by authorities, which is really the world we live in. They do that. They put something fraudulent out. They walk it back at a point where the truth no longer has an impact. And it's sad to say there is a shelf life for truth to be acted upon. And this is why, you know, when we clean up history, after the battle is over, after the knights in shining armor are dead, it's nice to get the record straight, but it actually affects no one except, you know, people of, you know, make a hobby of it or, you know, want to teach it correctly. It's not to say it has no value, but in terms of news you can use, which is a phrase an editor used to talk about with me, this idea that when information is contributes to your choices, the way you live your life, the way you look at a problem, that has a shelf life. And at this point, especially with this illness, the fear factor cannot be walked back. You have, you know, it enter into sort of, you know, superstition and black magic at this point, the way people you know, cling to masks, for example, or some of the other practices that are completely extraneous to your health, if not deleterious to your health. So it's really important to understand that, oh, it's nice, they've now or they're talking about the truth, but actually the damage is done. It's the same thing with bars. You correctly note this parallel. Walking, well, he didn't walk it back, but in terms of getting to a truth too late, you know, 6 months from now, we get an admission that, yes, the election was completely fraudulent and we've got a fraudulent pretender to the White House in power. That's no good. We need the truth now, and we need people to be shining all their flashlights on it. And when you see how many people are trying to keep us from the truth by just not covering it, pretending it's not there, that's when you know you cannot trust them, and you cannot trust their organizations. You can't trust their news sites, because they are part of this effort to hide the truth so that we are completely destroyed. Yeah. I mean, that's ultimately where we're going. They think it's going to be business as usual. Some of these kind of swamp people who think, oh, we'll just go back to where it used to be, you know, Bush versus Clinton, that kind of world. No.
Different world.
It's not. It's not going back to anything. It's going forward to this great reset, socialism, tyranny, reduced everything. It's bad, bad, bad. And that's why this moment is so precious.
Yes. And as I mentioned in the intro, as the founders were deliberate in their decision to separate from the crown, so at this point must we be, because ultimately, because of the people and their determination for self-rule, because we failed to keep those in power accountable, that journey now to victory might again be a bloody road.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad
it
to
is
say.
True.
Sad to say.
It is true. And I will say, though, you know, just so that people can also stay focused on what is there are incredible positive things here. 74 million Americans voted for Donald Trump, despite the psychological warfare waged on us and him for the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's incredible. I had no idea there were so many Americans, so many of our fellow citizens who had the time and effort and instinct to see through everything. We are not gullible, and we are not. And that is a great thing to really seize onto, how magnificent his victory truly is, and what that says about America. That's amazing.
I love
so,
it.
You know, that is something to sort of hang on to here. We have lots of compatriots. It was interesting. I heard President Trump talking to Maria Bartiromo the other day, and he said that when they were running the campaign, they thought, you know, he got, I think, 63 million in 2016, and they believed that he would bump up to 68 million. And they thought they had an easy road to victory if he could just, you know, hit that. That was their target. And when he comes in with 74 million, everybody's, you know, it's fantastic. And right now, really, Audrey, you and I should just be having a great sort of victory chat and looking forward to a happy second term, you know, which I think we'll get there. But this is such a time of crisis and fight. Yeah. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But there's so many augurs that are really positive, and I think we have to hang on to them while we stay shocked and angry.
It's true. We have to be a little double-minded. But
It's
not over yet. So where can listeners follow and support your brilliant work, purchase your books, including The Red Thread, and also be part of the – you have a now video subscription. You could tell us about that.
Yes, thank you. Everything is at dianawest.net. I have been following the election news, trying to write what I want to read, in a sense, like looking for things, stories I think should be covered. I'm not an exhaustive news service, but I'm highlighting pieces I think are important or stories. I'm up to election news 30 right now at my website, dianawest.net. It's called Bars Hit. And, you know, have quite a bit more there. My books are there. I am also creating videos on the Patreon channel. And, you know, welcome anybody to join us there. And that's pretty much everything about me right now, except, of course, my overactive Twitter account.
That's good. No, it's
which
good.
I keep waiting for them to suspend me. I have no idea why they haven't suspended me by now, but I'm still there. So
it's so funny. And, of course, I'll have these links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com. Click on the on-air button, and right under the show description, you'll find everything you need to follow Diana's work. Thanks so much, Diana, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Oh, thank you so much, Audrey. Same to you.
Thank you.